I'm Josephine Reed from the National Endowment for the Arts with the Chairman's Corner. It's a weekly podcast with Marianne Carter, Chairman of the Arts Endowment, where we'll discuss issues of importance to the arts community and a whole lot more. Today, we began on a personal note. Here's Marianne.
Well, I am so happy to report that no one at the agency has reported any symptoms of COVID-19, and I'm so thankful and grateful for that. But like everyone else, I'm feeling a sense of isolation and looking forward to the day when we can get back to the office and just rejoice with each other. I think we all work better when we can collaborate in person. But I'm really impressed with the job we have been able to do almost seamlessly, continuing the mission of the agency.
Well, we know Congress passed the $2 trillion Recovery Act, which the president signed into law, and the Arts Endowment received $75 million in additional funding. Can you talk a little bit about it? How is this going to be distributed?
Yes. First of all, I want to thank members of Congress and the president for recognizing the value that the arts play to the nation in terms of not only the economy, we add 4.5% to the GDP, but also how devastated the arts community has been. We represent approximately 5.1 million jobs. And like so many industries, just like a restaurant, the minute you shut down, the domino effect of all the jobs that hits is incredible. Let me just use a theater for an example. When a theater closes, you automatically think, oh, well, the actors and actresses aren't getting paid. But think about everyone else involved. It is the people at the front who take your tickets. It is the people selling the concessions. It is the ushers. It is the stage managers. It is the audio tech people. It is the makeup people. It's all the people in the background as well. I mean, these are all jobs that right now are at risk. And spread that across every theater across America and every dance theater and every concert hall. And all of a sudden you see the multiplying effect. And again, one of the biggest areas that have taken a hit is so many artists make a living by going into the public schools and working with our youth. And so many of the nation's schools are closed down now and closed down for the rest of the year. So you start multiplying and multiplying the devastation that this has wreaked upon the arts community. So I'm very grateful that the president and the Congress recognized this. So the bill provided $75 million to the National Endowment for the Arts. We will follow the usual practice of putting 60% or $45 million to direct grants from the agency. And then 40% or $30 million will go to the states and the regional art organizations. That's by law. The good news, aside from the money, is that these new funds will not require the usual one-to-one match. And the funds can be used for general operating support, which is fantastic because we want to save as many jobs out there as we can. And now that the bill has become law, we are starting to work with the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, and we'll develop an operating plan, which will include guidelines and then application and award timelines. And once we have that in place, those will be made public, and we hope to do that by the beginning of May.
This isn't the first time the Arts Endowment has provided emergency funding during a crisis to arts organizations.
No. In fact, back in 2009, the Arts Endowment was given $50 million in the stimulus bill to face the financial crisis. And we used that money to preserve jobs, again, in the nonprofit art sector. We obligated those funds in less than 20 weeks. We were the first federal agency to get all of its money out the door, and that helped to preserve over 7,000 jobs. So I feel really confident that we have the experience and the expertise to do a similar job here.
Well, the appropriation is an understanding, I think, of how deeply the arts organizations have been affected by this crisis. As you said, nonprofits typically, especially cultural nonprofits, typically operate lean and mean budgets. There's just not much wiggle room when the tickets aren't being sold.
That's true. And I'm so fearful that some of our wonderful, especially our local art organizations, aren't going to be able to survive. So we want to do what we can to help out. And, you know, who knows when people will be going back, when people will go back into a theater, when people will go back to the movies, when people will go to the ballet again, when our schools will reopen. And so unlike 2009, where there was a huge economic hit, there wasn't the physical distancing hit. And that really hits the arts community hard, especially for the performing arts. There's no audience, there's no show. And so as I view this, I think this is much more devastating than 2009, because while less people were participating in the arts, there were still people participating in the arts because we didn't have the physical distance and we didn't have a complete shutdown of every organization across the nation.
Exactly. The show could go on, as they say. It might be scaled down. It might be in a smaller theater, but it could play.
Yes.
I have been impressed, and I know you have too, about how many artists we're seeing online, just individually or working together virtually, creating pieces, reciting poetry, making music. I find that amazingly moving.
I think it is too. And I think it goes to show the creativity of what an artist is and what an artist does. And they are finding new ways to entertain and to share their gift. And whenever I see something that has come online, for example, I found that the U.S. Army Field Band every day at 1 o'clock is doing a concert online. So I tweeted that out. And I know between my Twitter account and the agency's Twitter account, when we see these online shows or concerts or a master dance class, or many of the Broadway stars are banding together and doing master classes and sharing their talents, we try to share those. So if your listeners want to go to either my Twitter account or the agency's Twitter account, we are trying to showcase those. And I would also mention one of the things that I'm trying to showcase is how the arts community is actually helping with the COVID-19 response.
Yes.
For example, the Baltimore Museum of Industry, their parking lot has turned into a coronavirus testing site. And so many now out-of-work costume makers have worked with doctors on how to make masks that they can then give to our nurses and our doctors and our first responders. And I think it is fabulous the way artists have been able to step up and say, how can I contribute?
Exactly. I think at those moments of real hope and humanity that right now mean even more than ever.
It really does. And post this crisis, it's going to mean a lot. And that's why we are going to do everything we can to preserve as many jobs and our arts organizations as we can, because the nation is going to need it once this crisis passes, because we are going to face issues that we're not contemplating yet, but there are going to be mental health issues down the road, I believe. And so a lot of things are going to pop up that the arts are going to be able to play a role in.
I agree, because I think the world is probably going to look a lot different. And I think the arts are really great navigators of helping us move from one place to another.
Absolutely. You know, hopefully this time next year, all of this has passed. And I believe what we will see are a lot of projects that reflect this time period in our lives.
Mary Ann, thank you so much for taking the time to talk today. And I will talk to you next week.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. And I look forward to seeing you soon in person.
You and me both. Take care.
That was Chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts, Mary Ann Carter. To find out the many ways artistic communities are stepping up across the country, you can follow Mary Ann on Twitter at NEA Arts Chair. And of course, you can follow the Arts Endowment at NEA Arts. I'm Josephine Reed. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.